أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at Surah Al-Fajr, and yesterday we completed the first section where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wakes us up and asks us to reflect on four oaths. The section ends with him saying, هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي هِجْرٍ. Is this not enough of an oath for people with rock-solid intellect? So he's challenging us. Now the next section is from Ayah 6 to 14. And here we have a historical reference, again something to ponder over. Allah talks about three very powerful communities: the people of Ad, the people of Thamud, and Fir'aun. All three of these were phenomenal in their construction. If we look at the people of Ad, he mentions these in Ayah 6 to 8, where he says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Have you not considered how your Rabb dealt with Ad? إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ, the people of Iram, possessors of lofty buildings. أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ, the like of which were not created in other cities. Now Ad was a powerful nation. The people there were genetically strong, and they built amazing monuments. Their strapline, which Allah mentions in Surah Hameen Sajda, was Man Ashaddu Quwwa, who can be more strong than us? Knowing that nobody was like them made them incredibly arrogant. And when Prophet Hud, who was amongst them, he was born amongst them, brought the message of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, he told them, Ya Qawmi, now this is in Surah Al-A'raf, Ya Qawmi a'budu Allah, submit to Allah, Ma lakum min ilahin ghayru, there is no God except Allah. Look at their response. قال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه. The elite, the leaders, the elders, in other words, the executive committee of those who covered up the truth from his people, they said, Inna lanaraka fi safahatin. Indeed, we see you of the foolish ones. He tells them, Laysa bi safahatun, I'm not of the foolish ones. Walakinni rasulun min rabbil alameen, I am a messenger from the Rabb of the worlds. But it fell to deaf ears. They weren't going to change their ways. They would be arrogant. They would oppress who they wanted. And they would continue to strut their stuff. You may have heard of Shaddad and Shadid, the two sons of Ad. Shaddad built himself a Jannah based on the information he got from Prophet Hud. He built a Jannah in the world, right to the very fine details. And when it was complete, and he rides towards it, thinking, I am going to live here. The moment he put one step in, we're told that the angel of death says, Shaddad, time up. He says, it's not fair. Let me go in. And he said, sorry, time up. In Ayah 9, Allah mentions Thamud. He says, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا صَخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And with Thamud, who carved out the rocks in the valley. Sakhra is large rocks or mountains. Jabu is to drill a hole right through. And Wad is a valley where water flows. So they were strong, they were skilled, they were prosperous. They didn't have the machinery we have today, yet they could make their homes out of the mountains. They lived between Medina and Syria in the valley of Hijr. Now remember, the Arabs knew them because on their travels, they in Surah Al-Quraysh we say, لِيلَا فِي قُرَيْشِ إِلَا فِهِمْ رَحْلَةَ الشِّطَاءِ. It was safe. They used to travel in summer and winter. They used to go past these ruins, and they were not builders. When they saw all these ruins, these monuments, and these phenomenal carved out buildings, they looked in awe. The people of Thamud were sent Saleh, who lived amongst them for over 100 years. After a century, he tells them, you know what, let me make a proposal to you. I will ask you of a simple thing. If your gods grant it, then I will depart from you. I won't bug you anymore. And you ask me something, and I will ask Allah for what you have asked. So he asked for their biggest idol to answer him. They begged their idols, they threw away the offerings they'd given their idols, they pulled out the mats which they had placed under their idols. Nothing happened. When the day was over, he said, well, your idols didn't respond. Now you ask, So they walked up to the mountain, whom they looked up as the greatest thing. Remember, that was their expertise. And they said, well, why don't you bring out a red, pure, pregnant she-camel? And lo, behold, the mountain split open, and out walked what we call Naqat al-Saleh, the camel of Saleh. They were dumbstruck. They were given specific instructions. Because they were a wasteful community, they were asked to budget. One day the camel would drink the water, and the next they would, and they would be able to gather it. They couldn't handle it. They killed the she-camel. They refused to repent. And they challenged Prophet Saleh. Bring what you have threatened if you are truthful, they said. An earthquake came, and they became motionless. And Prophet Saleh, addressing them, says, this is in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 79. Ya qawmi, O my people, لَقَدْ أَبْلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاسِحِينَ. I delivered you the message of my Rabb. I gave you good advice, but you don't love those who give you good advice. So these people were arrogant, they were wasteful, and they didn't want to listen to anyone. It was my way or the highway. And finally, Allah gives the example of Fir'aun. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. And Fir'aun, the lord of pigs. Autad is the plural of watad, which is tent pegs or stakes. A person's wealth was measured in ancient cultures by the number of pegs in his or her tent. The bigger the tent, the more powerful he was. Fir'aun also set up the largest of army, even in peaceful times. So it might have referred to the pegs of the tents of his soldiers, because if you took an aerial view, there'd have been loads of pegs. He also used to torture with pegs. He pegged the love of his life, Asiya, by pegging her to the ground. His home was phenomenal. At his time, it had the most exquisite architecture. Even the Quran describes the Egyptian nation as their Jannat. Allah says, how many gardens, how many Jannat did they leave behind when they drowned? He was powerful. He attributed divinity to himself. He was a tyrant. He oppressed a whole people. Now let's see what Allah says. He says, "Alladina taghaw fil bilad." These people, they committed tughyan. They went beyond the limits in the cities. That's because they could. They oppressed. They bullied. They were wasteful. They were arrogant. Allah continues to say in Ayah 12, فَأَكْثَرُ فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. So then they made fasad in it. Fasad is corruption, deterioration. Outwardly, they were super powerful. They were the superpowers of the world. They were successful. They had beautiful constructions. But inwardly, there was corruption. Today we have towns where there's different suburbs. From decadence to decay, just a few steps away. And they were deluded. If we look at Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 127, وَقَالَ الْمَلَعُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ. The executive committee, the advisors of the people of Fir'aun, they said, أَتَذَرُوا مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَذَرَكَ وَعَالِهَتَكَ. You going to leave Musa and his people to cause fasad, to cause corruption in the land, and to forsake you and your gods? They genuinely believed that they were right. So much was their arrogance. And then the consequence. Allah says, فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْتَ عَذَابٍ. Therefore your Rabb poured down upon them. Sabba is to pour down a portion of punishment. The word used is salt, which is a leather whip. The most feared punishment. This is the consequence of their actions. In Surah Al-Waqiyah, Allah calls these people mutrafun, Ayah 45. He said, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُطْرَفِينَ. They were before this, those who lived in excessive luxury, opulence. They were not in touch with reality. And finally he says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Indeed, your Rabb is watching. Rasada is to keep one's eye on something, to lie in wait, to observe. So, to paraphrase it, your Rabb, whose job it is to bring what is under his domain up to its full potential, will catch the nations that have transgressed. So this historical reference is a reference which we need to ponder upon onto our concept of success. How do we measure self-worth? Do we measure it by wealth? Do we measure it as to how we look? Do we measure it by our profession, what we do? Do we measure it by our accomplishments? Do we measure it by who we surround ourselves with? Or do we measure it by our connection to divinity? The Quran gives us a very clear message in Surah Al-Asr. He says, "Wal Asr, I swear by time, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Indeed, the human being is in loss. Except those, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, who manifest their belief in conscious actions which are good in themselves and their consequences are good as well. And then, وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Tawasi is to counsel someone to be able to benefit them. So to counsel them towards the truth and to counsel them towards sabr, which is perseverance, to carry on to reach their full potential." And then in the next chapter, in Surah Al-Humazah, Allah gives the profile of one who is at loss. He says it is the one who الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. The one who amasses wealth, the one whose entire goal of life is to collect wealth, and one who counts it, who constantly worries about the future only in monetary means. And he genuinely believes that it is his wealth which will make him immortal. Even when he gives charity, he only gives it to be remembered. So this section of Surah Al-Fajr is a reflection on those whose outer was decadence and inner was decay. Inshallah, more tomorrow.